Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the Skywatch headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. And standing in tonight on this beautiful Saturday summer night in Los Angeles, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, my guests are Peter Maxwell Slattery and Laura C. Cantu. No matter what show I'm hosting, whether it's Coast to Coast or Fade to Black, we are always out there looking for fresh faces and voices, and there are so many great talents out there who need to be heard. And everybody who we have on Coast has their first time on the show. And tonight on Coast, well, once again, I'm able to bring two first-time guests, Peter and Laura. One of my favorite things to do out there is to hang out with a bunch of my friends and check out the night sky. It's what I do, right? Well, over the years, I've had some pretty amazing sightings, and you've heard the green chrome ball sighting many times. Don't need to get into that. And a week after it happened, I was right here on Coast telling the world about it. And it truly rates up there with the best of them, the sightings that I've had. But earlier this month, I was up at Isetti Ranch for the Soltech Conference. And once again, magic happened. But this time, it wasn't at night. On Friday, August 10th, at around 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I was sitting at a table at the Field of Dreams up at Isetti, and I had my high-powered binoculars set up on a tripod sitting at this bench picnic table set up there. And I was focused at the peak of Mount Adams, right? And around me at the time were probably 20 to 30 friends. Some were playing basketball, some were sitting in lounge chairs, some were sitting with me, some had binoculars, but we're all there at the Field of Dreams. Now, to my right was Steve Murillo, and you know Steve, he's been on Coast with me here, and he was the director of UPARS and MUFON here in Los Angeles. And to the right of him was probably another four or five people. We're all sitting in a row on this bench looking at the mountain, all with binoculars, and we're just enjoying a beautiful afternoon. It was just amazing. We're talking, and I was really into it. You know, I had nature, you know, the mountain in front of me, quiet, peaceful, friends. And after about 15 minutes of this Zen state, it happened. This object just appeared from behind Mount Adams at the top, moving from west to east, left to right. And you have to take note here, the mountain is 14 miles away, and the peak is over 12,000 feet. And at the top of the peak is what I was focused on with these high-powered binoculars, and this object just appeared from behind the mountain. It didn't come in from the left. I didn't see that. It just appeared from behind the mountain at the very top, moving from left to right. And it was huge. It was tall. It was dark, with a large silver circle in the middle of it. And it was spinning. Imagine a spinning black beer can. Put that in your mind. A spinning black beer can with a label in the middle of it. But this can was probably 200 feet tall. And it was perfectly in focus. The sun was shining on it with the clear blue sky behind it. And at that moment, I just went into shock. I went from Zen to complete panic. And I jumped up and I started yelling, "Video, video, pictures, pictures. Everybody start shooting." And I run back to my seat. And Steve Murillo shouts out, "I see it. It's black and it's spinning with a silver thing in the middle." And I knew at that moment, remember, this is 14 miles away, and Steve is watching it without binoculars with his naked eye. I jump back on my tripod setup and I watch the object slowly move to the east. It's absolutely huge, by the way. It's a little rounded on the top and the bottom, but perfectly flat on the sides, like a spinning can. It's the only way that I can describe it. And then I back off the binoculars and I check it out with my eyes, and there it is. I can see it. It's amazing, by the way, just amazing. Spinning and moving in a perfect straight line at 12,000 feet level, moving from left to right from the peak of the mountain. And at this point, I'm thinking that we're going to be able to watch this thing for many minutes because there's nothing but clear blue sky for miles going east. So I go back to my binoculars and I try to catch up to it. And as I'm scanning for it, Steve yells out, "It's gone. It faded away." And I get off the binoculars and I look, it's just gone. I couldn't believe it. This huge object that was up there just disappeared. The sky was empty, just this huge blue sky in front of me. Now, this whole event lasted about 15 seconds. Now, out of all of the images that were taken, and I was yelling and telling everybody to shoot, I do have one. Now, while I was jumping up and down screaming for video, everyone was shooting. They were doing what I asked, but they were shooting in the wrong direction. And that's my bad. I panicked and I never told anybody where the object was. And there's my lesson learned. You know, I panicked. I freaked out. I should have just stayed calm, picked up my cell phone, and started shooting pictures. But I lost it. It was a daytime sighting. It was the Holy Grail. Now, my two guests tonight were there. Peter Maxwell Slattery, who has some of the most compelling UFO footage ever captured, and always walks around with a full-on video camera in his pocket, walked up to me about 3 minutes after the event, and he comes up and says, "Hey, man, anything going on?" And I took one look at him, and what I said at that time I can't say on the air, but let's just say you can fill in the blanks. Peter shot video every night during the Soltech conference, and we've posted the links over at coasttocoastam.com. And you can go and look at all of the videos there, and he put together a little documentary too as well, and you can go and look at all of that. And the stuff that he shot that week from August 7th through the 14th, some of the most compelling nights on the Field of Dreams ever. And I was there. And tonight we're going to talk about the footage and his crazy ability to be at the right place at the right time, except for my giant beer can. We'll also talk about that tonight, too. Later tonight, Laura C. Cantu joins us. She's an author, dancer, experiencer, and she went on a trip to a parallel world. And it's one of the most fascinating journeys you're ever going to hear about. And we're going to do all that and much, much more tonight. It is Coast to Coast AM, and it's Saturday. It's going to be a very special evening. Turn down the lights. Get ready. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You know the drill. Twitter is always live to my left. It's live right now. And if you were hanging out on Twitter before the show, you know what I'm doing. Any questions or comments, post them right there. Maybe your tweet will get read tonight on the air. Also, enjoy the bumper music tonight. It's just well thought out and, you know, some movie action. You'll figure it out. And later on tonight, we'll open up the phones with both Peter and Laura Cantu, because it's another Saturday night right here on Coast to Coast AM. And I do always want to hear from you. Let's do this. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my first guest, Peter Maxwell Slattery. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Beautiful Saturday night here in Southern California. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurch Radio. That's what you need to do. You can also follow Peter, PM Slattery, right there on Twitter. Peter Maxwell Slattery is an international best-selling author and is known as an ET contact experiencer. His experiences started at an early age and continue to this day with hundreds of witnesses to events. And he has an overwhelming amount of photographic and video evidence of UFOs, otherworldly beings, and apparitions, and plus some physical trace evidence. His experiences with extraterrestrials has led him to help people and groups make ET contact themselves, along with healing and tapping into their own abilities. He is also the co-founder of ESETI, which is ESETI Australia, Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, with the aim to educate the public on the ET reality. Today, he continues to open the world up to the greater reality that we are not alone. I would like to welcome for the first time to Coast AM, Mr. Peter Maxwell Slattery. Peter, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, mate. Thank you for having us.
No, it's good to hear your voice. And, you know, it doesn't seem like I've been away for that long, but it's already been a couple of weeks since we left ESETI.
Time flies, mate. It flies by.
So we've got all of the videos up, Peter, that you shot up at Soltech. And so for the audience right now, go to coasttocoastam.com. Right there on the homepage, right on the front, click on the banner, and it will take you to a full page of videos that Peter and James Gilliland shot during, I'm going to say here, August 7th through, did we go all the way to the 14th? Did we shoot on the last night, too?
Yeah, I think we did pretty much every night from what I remember.
Yeah, that's what I think, too, as well. And I want everybody to remember one thing when you go and look at these videos, and you can see it in a couple of spots. We had each night between 150 and 200 people out there with us on the Field of Dreams. And starting on the first night, which was August 7th, we had 50 plus, maybe 80 craft in the sky that first night, and it was like that every night for the next 7 days. It was a pretty amazing week up at ESETI.
It was constant, and even now it's just constant activity. Just before I come on the air, we just had an amazing sighting that James was able to capture on camera, which we'll put up soon as well. But it's just amazing, the activity that you have here around the mountain, on the mountain, and down low as well. It's, you just got to see it to believe it.
What? How do you explain for the audience? This is your first time on Coast, Peter. I've known you for a while now. And out there in the UFO community, you're pretty well known. But it's your first night on Coast. So explain to the audience, how is it that you are at the right place at the right time to shoot all of these UFOs? I've been around you. These things are appearing, but you've always got a camera in your pocket, right? How is it that you're always there, except for my beer can?
And I had, you know, a good daytime sighting. I wasn't able to get. I pulled the camera out, but it went up into the cloud. But look, it's pretty funny because it's something, again, you've got to see to believe. But people go, oh, you know, as if you're always walking around with the camera on you. But you saw yourself. I've always got the 4K camera on me. But I would equate it to what I call thought transfer or telepathy. So when this, I've been having sightings and experiences going back to about the age of 12. My first actual UFO sighting was at 12, but I started having experiences with beings before that. But it's like I'd go outside and I just knew there would be a craft outside right above me. And so many people have seen me just walk out the door, one or two steps, or just poke my head out, and there's a craft just sitting right above me. Now, after some time, I worked out that it wasn't me thinking that. Whoever or whatever's connected to whatever it was, whether it's a ball of light or whether it's a structured craft, you know, I've filmed triangle cigars, all sorts of things. What I worked out was that they'll give me thought transfer and making me, they were using my thought pattern to communicate, to go outside and look up. So in other words, at the start, I thought it was me having the thought to go outside and look up and they were there. No, they were giving me that thought using my own thought pattern. And after I sort of accepted that and could ease into that, that's when the contact started up to the next level, and it was a different level. But it's, you could say it's me, but I don't think it's that as well. Like, I go everywhere in the world I've gone, I've filmed crafts in Italy, Bali, America. It's just, it doesn't matter where I go. I think this activity is everywhere, but some people are just, I guess, either more tuned in or they can pick up on who's tuned in, you know, on a greater scale. So I think it's overlapped to a few different areas.
There was, in the documentary that we have posted up on Coast to Coast, and everybody, I encourage you to go and check that out, certainly after the show tonight. At the beginning of the documentary, there is one of your most amazing videos, and you've got a still. And this isn't a nighttime shot. It's a daytime, clear as a bell, classic saucer-shaped UFO. It's like something right out of the 1950s from some B movie. And that is one of the most craziest videos I have ever seen. And tell us about how that was shot and how you came to capture that on video.
So that night, or that evening, I should say, so it was December, which is summertime in Australia. I was on the far sort of east side, which is sort of at the foot of Mount Dandenong on the outskirts of Melbourne. At the time, my wife at the time, we went to her parents' place for dinner. So she had her brother, her two sisters, all the kids were there and their partners. And we're sitting outside next to a pool and we're having dinner. So probably around 6 o'clock, but the sun doesn't go down till about probably 9, 9.30 at that time of year. And basically I just sat there and I said, "What's that?" And everyone looked up, and her father, who's skeptical, and I think skeptical gets a bad name. I think you need to be skeptical. You've got to look at both sides and come to a logical conclusion on things. But he looked up and he goes, "That's a weather balloon. That's a blimp." And then he goes, "I don't know what that is." And basically we had this, looks like your typical flying saucer, as you can see from the footage, and I'll be releasing more in time after a full-length feature film is being done on me now, which is analysing a lot of the footage and going into witnesses and my whole story. But basically this object was around for probably, 5 minutes, give or take, maybe a little bit longer. And it was very hard to film, but I've got some really good stills of it and 4K footage. But this thing, like, seriously, man, it was like on a 45-degree angle tilt, and it looked like it was in one place for a second, and then it was a few hundred feet away the next second, and then it was back where it was, and then it sort of became stationary. And I actually showed, I don't know if you saw my presentation at Soltech, but I showed some extra footage that had been unseen yet, where you can get really good reference points with the chimney on the roof and certain things, so you can really get a good view of it. But that's sort of how that sighting happened, and it was just great that her whole family was there, able to see that and, experience it as well. But that just happened, just looking up, and, we're all at the pool, and, I was sort of feeling at the time too, because it took me a bit to just get my camera going, but her father was saying he should have got it when it came over at the pool area, because it was just so low.
One of the things that I think is going on, I don't think it's you, Peter, I don't think it's me, right, when all of these sightings are going off. And what I mean by that is I think it's just setting the mood right.
It is, yeah.
You know, I go out there, everybody's laughing and having a good time, and I think that elevates the vibration. And I don't want to get all new agey here, but if you're negative, or if you don't want to see anything, or if it's a down environment, well, then you're not going to have anything happen. But I think you generate excitement, and I go out there and I like to party, and get everybody happy and laughing. And we had a full week of panoramic activity going on in the skies. We had, there are a couple of videos there on Coast to Coast AM that Peter shot, where there are three objects in a frame. You may think that happened once. We had that, three objects at a time, all night long. Yeah, it was. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was amazing. And look, James does the same. Some of that footage James got as well, we sort of mixed it up between what both him and I were getting, but you're exactly right. And this is where, how we conduct things and how you do too. It's just, you go out there, have a good time, start some good conversations and just lighten the mood, and it always happens when you least expect it. You'll be having a conversation, look up, and then bang, whatever it is, it just happens like that. So, it's good to meditate and things like that, but, I think the more that you just go out there, network, have fun, talk, tell a few jokes and have a few laughs, that's when the activity really starts up.
Yeah, and we're going to take a break right here, Peter. So during the break, I want the audience to go and look at some of these clips, and you will see in a few of these a pan of how many people are with us out there in the Field of Dreams. And it was like a rock concert. When you have 200 people out there with this show going on up in the sky and everybody yelling and screaming, you kind of get a feel for what was going on with us up there at East Side. It was absolutely incredible. It's all documented and the videos are right there. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, Saturday night with Peter Maxwell Slattery. Stay with us. Right now, oh, they might be over, actually. George Norrie was live tonight in Asheville with David Adair, Micah Hanks, and the crew, and Tommy's out there. And there you go. I know that they just lit it up there on stage, and they had a band and the whole thing, and George got to sing, and Micah played guitar. So if they're listening, big shout-out to those guys. I know they're having a great time out there on the East Coast. Our guest tonight, right now, is Peter Maxwell Slattery. He has captured some of the most amazing video and still photos of craft and ET contact that you've ever seen. We've got a bunch of the videos posted up right now at coasttocoastam.com. Go and check it out, and I'll be right back after this short break. More with Peter Maxwell Slattery. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest, two guests tonight, Peter Maxwell Slattery, and later on, Laura C. Cantu is going to be here. I want to remind everybody, top of the hour, we're going to be taking phone calls, so get ready for that. I was just hanging out on Twitter during the commercial break, and I posted up some pictures there that Eric took up at eSETI. You can go check it out. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. And I'll be retweeting and getting more stuff. There's tons that are posted right now. And also, somebody made a comment during the break that there's no such word as experiencer. No, there's a word. It's called experiencer. And we invented that word in this community, and we're cool with it. Peter Maxwell Slattery, are you an experiencer?
Yeah, I guess if you've got to put a term on it, yeah.
Exactly. If somebody came up to you and said, hey, man, experiencer is not a word, you're not an experiencer, what would your response be?
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, it is what it is, each to their own, but I think experience is the best way to put it.
Now, how do you explain, Peter, when we have that many people up there at eSETI watching these craft for hours just flying in each direction, by the way. They're not on any path. They're flying in each direction. It's not just at eSETI. It's anywhere in the world, isn't it?
It is. Look, I think there are certain points which you could call portals or vortexes or acupuncture points on the Earth that seem to have a little bit more than most. But look, you go anywhere. When James was, he came and lived with me for 3 months in Australia. It didn't matter where we went, whether we were in the outback or in the city. He just couldn't believe the amount of stuff that he was just seeing just as much stuff with me over there as he did here. But, you know, there's very little light pollution here. I see just as much daytime activity at the ranch as I do at nighttime stuff. Sometimes I can get it, sometimes I can't. But, you know, as you said, this stuff's going on everywhere. And I think the veils are getting thinner worldwide. Whether it's a multidimensional thing or they're actually fully manifested into this realm or they're just outside it, because I do see them in apparition-type form as well. But, you know, it's going on everywhere.
Now, everybody can go and look at the UFO footage, and we'll be talking about this more and taking your phone calls at the top of the hour. But something else happened while we were there, and, of course, it was Bigfoot. And I have always been on the fence about Bigfoot. I've never had a Bigfoot sighting, right? I've never had any experiences with it. But while we were up there, we found two sets of footprints. One was by the front gate. And then in the middle of the week, young little Jax and his friends were out chasing grasshoppers in the middle of the field and found a set of prints. Well, they found one. And then we found three more going in a curve. And I have to say that was one of the most amazing moments of my life, to look down and see, what is almost probably 2 feet, 18 inches, 20-inch footprint, 2 inches deep into the dirt. I don't know what to say. How about you, Peter? Any more footprints? And what did you think about that set that Jax found?
Well, it's so funny you bring that up, because I actually saw one the other day, and I'll tell you what happened. But one of the footprints, me and James went to, I think you call it Home Depot, we went and got some plaster, and he actually got a really good plaster cast of one, which you may be able to see on his Facebook page. him actually holding it. And it's just like, you know, the proper legit ones that you see. It's got all the same telltale signs that, you know, it's definitely not normal. But what was funny is that I went to do, after I do my meditations in the morning here, I get up and, because I'm staying at the ranch at the moment, I do like an intention meditation walk after my meditation. I walk around the field of dreams. Now, when I started walking back, pretty much where your RV was parked, I was about there, and I was looking at, you know, James's sort of little garage thing on the side of his little tower, the hut that he's staying in.
Right.
I saw a being. Now, I'm guesstimating here, but I'd say maybe around 6 foot tall, so it wasn't massive, but this thing had grey and brown, dark brown hair all over it, and I watched it probably walk about, probably 12 to 15 feet, and then it completely blinked out. It completely blinked out, and that's probably the third experience I've had with Bigfoot here. I've had a couple of experiences back in Australia, and I was a bit skeptical on it myself, but this was fully manifested for about that distance, and then it completely phased out. But you've got to check out the plaster cast James has got, because it's pretty trippy.
Yeah, I held the plaster cast, and I want to be very clear with everybody. I can't be any more clear than this. I've been waiting for something when it comes to Bigfoot for a long, long time. And when I stepped up with those kids and looked down for the first time at a 18, 20-inch footprint with toes and a heel and an arch, and it's 2 inches deep into this hard-packed soil. I'm 200 pounds. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm not a small guy. I'm not even making a dent in this ground. And I measured it. We all did. You were there. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this footprint, and I cannot imagine what made it. That was a life-changing moment. And then we found three other ones, left, right, and they were 5.5 feet apart. Everybody, I tried to make the step, and I fell over. I couldn't. It's almost a hop for me at 6 foot.
Yep.
That was extraordinary. He said he has a little bit of everything going on up there.
Well, it does. You know, you've experienced some what would seem crazy to the most of the population, but, you know, whether it's fairies or, you know, some of these beings that are masters or extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrials, it's, you know, or Bigfoot, you know, it's definitely got a wide range of beings and activity and the paranormal stuff, the high strangeness factor. It does seem to have it all. We've actually got a Bigfoot investigation team here now. I think there was like 20 of them, and we had about 20 university students rock up, and also a UFO investigation group here right now. So they're all starting to see stuff themselves.
Anything going on the Field of Dreams tonight?
Yeah, everyone's out there. We actually, we've had a crew that came here to do a documentary, and they're featuring me and James in it, and it's on the Mount Adams area. And they've just, as soon as we walked out the hall tonight after James did his show and we did a meditation, yeah, it was just an epic sighting that I'll be putting up as soon as I can. It was just, it went for a few minutes. This object did a complete big, massive curve in the sky, and it powered up. Like, these were massive power-ups, and it was reacting to the lasers, and you can just hear the crowd of, like, probably 60 or more people just, you know, reacting to each time it did it. But, you know, you saw it yourself, what goes on here. Actually, I was with you. Remember, we saw the craft come over it and did a complete U-turn and then backtrack.
Yes, that, okay. Now, we can talk about that for a second. I'm going to make that very quick, because that was the first thing that happened on Tuesday night, was the U-turn video, the U-turn UFO. And I had tweeted out to everybody, wait till you hear this story, the sighting. And what was crazy, that's way down the list now after what happened there for the week. Mm-hmm. And the U-turn UFO, everybody, this was a craft that came out of the east, came towards us, then kind of slightly zigzagging. It lasted about 5 minutes. It then turned north and headed towards the mountains, and then turned back east, and it stopped and turned into a star. And what is amazing, what I mean that it turned into a star, it's now stationary in the sky. And if I had walked up, or anybody else, after it had stopped and you're looking up, you would just think that it was a star. But we tracked it there for 5 minutes. It was an extraordinary sighting. But yet, like I said, it's way down the list, Peter. We had some amazing sightings this week. I do want to say this really quick. There's a video posted at Coast that's up there from Peter, and it says Billy Carson's first UFO sighting.
I was about to mention that.
Yes.
That was epic.
And so Billy Carson, you know, great author and you know, Forbidden Knowledge, Billy Carson's up there with us, and he steps out in the Field of Dreams, and he comes up to me, and I hand him the night vision goggles, and he's looking up, and he literally says to me, when will I see my first UFO? And I said, well, hand me the night vision. This is all on video. I get the night vision from him, and I look up, 3 seconds. Three. It's right there. And I said, right there, Billy. And I handed the night vision back, and his reaction to what he saw was, I love it when everybody sees their first UFO for the first time. It's an epiphany. It's a life-changing thing. And you were standing right there, Peter, and you were videotaping Billy's first moments. What did you think about that?
Oh, it was just, I'm getting shivers now thinking of it, because it just, I've been there with so many people when they've had their first experience or sighting, and they just cannot explain it, and they're like, what is this that we're seeing? And especially Billy being who he is and how much he's done in the field himself, for him to actually, you know, be with us and then see his first craft, that was what it was about, him and everyone else having that experience, not you or I, because we've seen a lot of stuff, but just seeing people's reactions and then taking it in, that was just epic.
The second night there, which was Wednesday night, we had another one of the most extraordinary sightings, I think, ever. I was just on Clyde Lewis' show, Ground Zero, talking about this. We were all there. You were there. Billy was there. And this diamond-shaped, again, diamond-shaped, but it was green, but it was shaped like a perfect diamond, low, came from the south and was flying over us and did one of the most dramatic power-ups I have ever seen. It was like an atomic explosion in the sky. And 10 seconds later, it did it a second time. Again, you caught this on video. I was looking at it in night vision. I saw it as green, but as it turns out, it was green. It was just green in night vision.
Is that the one where you spilled your coffee as well?
Yes.
Or was that another one?
No, I think that was me spilling coffee. Thank you for pointing that out to the audience. But that was an unbelievable sighting for everybody there.
It was, and the funny thing is, I'm not sure which day it was, but James and I were doing a workshop, and everyone's just seen me run, and I basically saw a white diamond-shaped object with sort of a rainbow effect in it, and it was at treetop height, and now I reckon this thing was at least the size of a big American SUV. But the clouds were really low that day, and then it went up into the clouds, and I ran to the other side near the Ezekiel Hall to see if I could capture it. So it was very similar to what you're describing, and very low as well, but this place just doesn't stop with that sort of stuff.
Peter, what do you think we are seeing? Are we seeing our craft? Are we seeing technology that the public doesn't know about? Or are these visitors from somewhere else? Or is it us from the future, maybe time travelers? What do you think is going on?
Look, from my experiences, and just from what I know, and I mean, what I've to me is evidence from the communications and after I've vented, even the beings that I've communicated with, it seems to be a conglomerate of all the above. And so I know that there is a spaceport inside Mount Adams, and not just there are different places throughout the planet Earth, and some of them are multidimensional. Now, the craft, some of them are us coming back from the future. Some of these are actually from other civilizations in this vibration. Some of them even go up to and including what I call the geometric light realms, which would be different colors of the rainbow spectrum. And some of these beings, they don't even have craft. They're what you'd call even in a Merkaba, and they break down to an electron, which is a negative charge subatomic particle, and they can teleport to another electron because everything's got a symbiotic relationship and re-manifest.
Sure.
And then I've seen other beings where they're in sort of these pearls in the sky, and the translated word of Buddha from the 1400s talks about these translucent pearls in the sky that come down and visit men. And I've actually got video where you can see the silhouette of beings in meditation pose inside them. And we even had John Vivanco who's a remote viewer, well known, remote view the ranch without knowing what the target was at the time and not knowing what James Gilliland has had talk about the property and others. And he's seen these lion bangs in these, what he didn't know were merkabas at the time, from my understanding, flying around. And that's what I filmed in Australia. I knew they were lion bangs in it, and I told him that. And the same thing seems to be happening here. So it does sound crazy, and I can understand that, but it's really taken years for me with my experiences to come to some understanding. And I'm sure there is stuff that I've got no reference for where they even come from or what they are, because I think some of this, if not a majority of this, is right beside us, whether it's just outside of our frequency or whatnot. So it's very overlapping, you know. And then you've got the trickster type entities as well, where they're phasing in. I don't think they care either way. They're not, you know, good, bad, or whatever. They're just doing what they do. But this area seems to be very active around Mount Adams.
What was very interesting for me is while we were up there for Soul Tech, we had, you know, about 200 people attending. And a large chunk of that 200 was there at eSETI for the first time. And to sit and listen to everybody the next day after being out on the Field of Dreams and listening to them talk about what they saw the night before, it's extraordinary. And if you've never seen anything like it and you go to eSETI and you see it for the first time, it's truly a life-changing situation. And it's one where you kind of need to be a little bit prepared for, because if you're not, you're going to see things that you've never seen before, and it's very tough to explain. Then you got to go home and tell your friends and family and coworkers what you just did over the weekend.
Yeah, you've just got to be open-minded. You know, have your grey box ready for stuff you're not sure that to chuck it in there. Don't just have a black and white box. Just have a grey box, chuck it in there. Be open. Don't be closed-minded, because the more open you are, it's like almost like, look, I'm open to experience this. If this stuff's really going on, I would really like to see something and keep that intention. But like we talked about before, Jimmy, you just go out on the field and have fun and tell jokes. You know, that's when the activity really starts to get bumping.
And not only in the sky, but Mount Adams each night showed some pretty interesting activity on that mountain. During the day, you can clearly see that it's just a straight lava cliff, and if it's not a straight cliff, it's a cliff covered in glacier ice. And then at night, those very spots where you know there's nothing there are lights on the mountain and coming and going. And we saw some very strange things over that week. If you didn't look up at the sky, just take the time to go look at the mountain, and there it goes.
Yeah, and you've even seen the footage where I filmed them coming actually out of the mountain. So it's well documented. Yeah, even going back to Kenneth Arnold, he saw these, I think, believe it was 9 V-shaped delta looking crafts go from Mount Rainier and land on the western slopes of Mount Adams. You've got the Native Americans telling their stories around this mountain, and now a huge history of not just people at eSETI, but others around the area seeing stuff on Mount Adams. So it's pretty full on what can happen around there.
Yeah, let me jump in real quick. We got to take a break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Peter Maxwell Slattery. A little bit later, Laura C. Cantu is going to be here. When we come back after this break, we're going to start taking some phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.